أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأبديته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Our Prophet has said, whoever exercises ikhlas for 40 mornings, fountains of wisdom burst from his heart and flow over his tongue. And that was the beautiful hadith that we have been discussing since a while. And under that subject, we started to talk about some of the practical tips that our Urafa have mentioned on the path of Tazkiyatun Nafs. And our conversation has reached the point where I talked about recitation of 50 ayats daily that we already discussed. And then the next point which I would like to mention tonight was zikr and dua. It is certainly one of the most unique of all the worships of Islam because of various reasons. One of the reasons why zikr is the most unique worship of Islam is because for every worship there is a time frame fixed in the religion. For prayers there is a specific time where we need to pray. We cannot pray ahead of that time. Isn't that right? We cannot pray after that time with the niyat of adha. It will become qada. We have lost the sawab that was there for adha. So for every ibadat, for khums there is a fixed time, for zakat there is a time, for hajj there is a time. The zikr is an ibadat which has no fixed time. And it engulfs the entire life. It is supposed to engulf the entire life of a mu'min. Even his sleep is the mazhar and reflection of the zikr and remembrance of Allah. Because a mu'min is supposed to sleep after performing his duty and for the sake of Allah. So when you sleep after performing your fariza and duties, and you sleep with the niyat that you are doing it for the sake of Allah, So you did not forget Allah, and you do your duties. And so basically this kind of person is zakir, that means in the remembrance of Allah, even though he may not be performing the oral and verbal and zikr lisani, which awamun nas, the regular people in the society, think that's the most superior zikr. Zikr lisani is the most inferior zikr in Islam, not the most superior. Although this is also very much recommended in Islam, that we continue to engage ourselves with the zikr lisani as much as possible. It is narrated in the life history of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam that most of the times he was busy in the zikr. We are talking about zikr lisani, the oral remembrance of Allah. Most of the times Imam was busy in zikr. Well, don't be confused when we mention some of the Imams and we talk about some of the moral attributes relating those attributes to some Imams. Obviously, this is the seerat of all the Imams. The point is that we have narration and riwayat that proves it for the Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, because we don't have narrations proving narrations about the seerat of all the Imams in all details, unfortunately, because not every Imam had that much opportunity given by the Taghuts and to for the Mu'mins and Shias to connect with them and to narrate all the various types of narrations. So some of the Imams had a better breathing space or room or margin where they managed to interact more with the people, like Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, as-Sadiqin alayhi salatu wa salam, and Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, for instance. So otherwise, that was the constant tradition of all the Masumeen alayhi salam, without a difference. They all are part of one nur, they all are always engaged in the zikr of Allah. Even it is narrated that when he was eating food, he was still used to remember Allah. When he was talking, he still used to remember Allah. When he's walking, he still used to engage himself in some of the zikr. Especially it is narrated about Imam al-Baqir Islam that he used to repeat La ilaha illallah a lot, which is one of the greatest of the azkar, one of the greatest of the phrases of remembrance, that we say La ilaha illallah, that does not even engage your lips. So you are working on your computer in your office and you can still say La ilaha illallah, slowly, not as so much slow that you yourself cannot hear your voice. This is not counted to be the zikr. A zikr is counted to be a zikr al-lisani when you yourself should be able to hear your own voice, but your lips are not moving, so no one can understand that you are doing the zikr of Allah. So La ilaha illallah is the most superior among all the sentences, because our Holy Prophet has already said in his famous hadith that مَا قُلْتُ وَلَا الْقَائِلُونَ قَبْلِي مِثْلَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, neither me nor any prophet ahead of me has said any statement similar to La ilaha illallah. That means this is the most superior sentence uttered by any human, which is La ilaha illallah. And he also said if La ilaha illallah is placed on one side of the scale, and as-samawat wal-ard, and the heavens and earth are placed on the other side of the scale, mizan, lamalat bihinna La ilaha illallah. So this side of the scale would be heavier as compared to all the heavens and earth combined. So which makes it very clear that the value of the kalima La ilaha illallah is unfathomable for the humans, immeasurable for the humans. Because just like we are unable to understand the weight and the value of all the heavens and earth combined, so isn't it right? We don't even know the material world, like I always say in my speeches, the scientists say it's 1 billion light years. Our Milky Way is 1 billion light years from one corner to the other. And God knows there are countless Milky Ways and galaxies in the whole universe. And this is what we are talking about, Alamul Madda. We didn't start to talk about the Alamul Ma'na yet, the metaphysical world. When the material world ends, that's where the metaphysical world starts. That's where the first Sama. The first Sama starts after the world of matter ends. So we don't even know the weight and value of the material world. So there's no way a human can understand the highness of the material world, which is so highness in the sense, the vastness, I mean to say, the vastness of the material world. And then we have the seven samawat, which again is a very high level and huge discussion. So basically, La ilaha illallah is not equal but higher and more weighty and more valuable than all the universe. You put the whole universe on one side and you want to weight the word, the sentence La ilaha illallah. This one sentence has heavier weight as compared to the entire universe. So these are the values that our Holy Prophet has taught us. So we were discussing that La ilaha illallah is the most superior among all the phrases of remembrance. This is the Kalimatun Tayyibah. And our scholars of Akhlaq say that one of the benefits of Zikrun Lisani, which is the lowest level of Zikr, but one of the benefits of Zikr Lisani is that there is a umid and raja. There is a hope that if we continue to engage our lisan, our tongue with the Zikr Lisani, there is a hope that we may end up having Zikrun Qalbi as well, which is the highest level of zikr. That means your heart remembers Allah. Maybe you end up to that level and you reach that level through constant zikrun lisani, verbal remembrance. Maybe you reach the level where your heart also starts remembering. Because if you can win your heart and you can allow your heart, the zikr and remembrance of Allah to govern your heart, that's where all the parts of your body will be obedient to your soul, because al-qalbu amirul badan, because the soul is the leader of the body. If you can control the soul, you can control your body. Why some people cannot control their bodies and parts of the bodies performing various kinds of faults or sins or mistakes? Because their soul is not in their own control. So Zikrun Qalbi is where we want to reach. That Zikrun Qalbi, that means if our heart starts remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will have an impact on our spirituality. This requires Zikrun Qalbi. Remembering Allah in our heart requires the Sharia. Here is the role of Sharia kicks in. Because if we follow the Ahkam al-Ghaybiyya, Ahkam al-Taklifiyya min Alam al-Ghayb, these Ahkam al-Taklifi which were revealed from the unseeable world, that's where your qalb will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody does not obey the Ahkam al-Taklifiyya, you know, the Shari'i rulings, there's no way he can remember Allah in his heart. Is simply not going to happen. So in order to follow the Ahkamun Taklifiyya, the rulings of the Sharia, we need to keep away from our personal opinions, our shahawat, our likenesses, our wishes and desires, and our interests that block us from obeying the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because according to Allama At-Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh, taklifun shar'i is like ma'ul hayat. It's like ma'ul khulud, abe hayat. Anyone who follows the ahkamun taklifiyya, which came on the qalb of Rasulullah from the alam al ghaib. Do this, don't do that. This is halal, this is haram. This is mustahab, this is makruh, this is mubah. These ahkam which were revealed on the soul of the Holy Prophet, because our souls simply did not deserve to receive that. Isn't that right? Our soul was not even eligible to receive none of the ahkam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we stand in need of a messenger whose soul is so high that he can receive the ahkam from alam al-ghaib, so that we human beings get distinguished from the animals. We get out of the plantation vegetational life. We get out of the animalistic life, because just, you know, reproducing and eating and sleeping, that's what the animals do. Just growing and increasing, that's what the plants do. Isn't that right? So we get out of that vegetational stage of life, or animalistic stage of life, of just reproducing and eating and drinking and sleeping, because we have a soul. And when we have a soul, there has to be laws that govern that soul. So basically, we find that some people say, well, why did Allah create us? Well, obviously, Allah doesn't have any benefit in creating us. When Allah created us, this is another ni'mat of Allah, that Allah gave us the opportunity to become perfect and powerful and all-powerful, and become His mazhar and reflection, so that we can also be all-powerful. So, all-powerful with the izn of Allah. So, like Allama Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi, the example he gave, he furnished for this kind of objections some people raise. He said, well, a human being, just visualize a plant. We need to water the plant for the plant to survive. If you don't water the plant, it will die. So this human being, our spirituality, requires watering. And the watering of the spirituality is through the Sharia. This is how your soul becomes alive, by following the do's and do nots. Qul ta'alaw. Didn't the Holy Prophet say? Qul ta'alaw. Say, Allah commands His Messenger, say, Qul ta'alaw. Come up. Atlu ma harrama rabbukum. I recite, what my Lord made haram on you. So when the Prophet is reciting what Allah made haram on us, when we obey the halal and haram of Allah, that's how we get elevated. We raise higher and higher and higher. We get raised to higher levels by obeying these. If we don't water the plant of our spirituality with the ahkamun taklifiyya of the Sharia, then this plant of the human soul will convert into a firewood. Hatab. Hizum. This is exactly the example that Allah Tabatabai has given. Because he says, Allah doesn't have any, he's not afraid to give such an example. He said it very clearly, that وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لَجَهَنَّمَا حَطَبًا. The zalimeen, qasitun means zalimeen. Qast in Arabic, there are two words. Qist means adl, which is not exactly the adl, it's a little bit different from the adl. And the qast with the fatha on the qaf, it means zulm in Arabic. Al qasit means zalim. Amma al qasitun fakanu li jahannama hataban. So, qasitun are the firewood of the hell, which Allah made it very clear. So the firewood of the hellfire, Jahannam, is not supposed to be brought from the outside. The Jahannam is self-sufficient entity. There's nothing needed to be added to keep the fire running, to keep the fire, basically lit inside it. Jahannam is a self-sufficient entity. So the firewood of the hellfire is the humans and the stone. And those human beings, those the zalimeen, are the firewood of the hellfire. So if a human being fails to water the plant of his spirituality with the ahkamun taklifiyya, his soul gets converted into firewood. So there's no concept of ma'ul hayat, you know, ma'ul khulud, how some people think, you know, abe hayat, you know, we can, they say, you know, if somebody drinks from abe hayat, he will be alive forever. But this is against the Holy Quran. The Quran is very clear in its policy, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to his beloved messenger, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, you are going to die and they are going to die. In other words, you are mayyit and they are mayyit as well. In other words, and also the Holy Quran has said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, so every life has to taste death. So there is no room for any human being to stay here forever. And also the Holy Quran has said, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ, we did not provide for a human before you the eternity. So for no human Allah provided the eternity. Eternity is not given to any human being. If eternity was supposed to be given, this is not part of the ayat that I am explaining to you. If eternity and khuld was supposed to be given to somebody, the most deserving person was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. When they are not given the eternity, then nobody else can deserve eternity in their presence. It doesn't make any sense to believe there's Abe Hayat or Ma'ul Khulud and you can just drink it and you will stay forever. This is khurafat. There's no room for that. Just like Jazira al-Khatra, you know, we have a lot of khurafat on Jazira al-Khatra about Imam Sahib al-Zaman. So many books have been written, some of the ignorant khutaba, you know, with due respect to them, but this is ignorance and jahl of theirs. Some of the ignorant khutaba have recited majalis and rawzakhani and speeches on the subject of Jazira al-Khatra. It's not just such Jazira al-Khatra where there's khurafat, you know. I remember Ayatullah al-Uzma said, Sheikh Hassan Zada Amuli Hafizahullah, one of our great Urafa, he was saying, he mentioned actually in one of his books that this story belongs to one of the one of the Fatimi rulers of Egypt. One Fatimi Sayyid ruler of Egypt, you know, he made his house on one of the islands under his government during his days. And because of that Sayyid Fatimi who made his own house, he chose his house to be on one of the islands. This was basically taken from there and attached to Imam Sahib al-Zaman. So this has nothing to do with the Imam. Imam alayhi salam lives on the earth, not on the island. There's nothing as Jaziratul Khadra. This is khurafat. None of our urafa have ever mentioned or accepted this khurafat. So basically, the human being, what we were discussing is that in order for a person to have the zikrun qalbi, in order for you to have the remembrance of Allah rule your heart, we have to be particular about the ahkamun taklifiyya, and this is how we are watering our spirituality and elevating ourselves to the higher positions. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi walirrasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Quran has said, O you who believe, respond positively to the call of Allah and the Messenger when he invites you towards what gives you life. All the teachings of the Holy Prophet and all the teachings of Allah give us hayat and life. That's the real hayat. And the real hayat is this. If we take and if we don't have this kind of hayat, then basically this person is a living dead. A living dead is mayyitul ahya. A person who does not learn how to protect his spirituality. Either A, he didn't learn the ahkamun taklifiyya at all from the sharia, or B, he learned it but did not practice. In both the cases, this person is mayyitul ahya, he's a living dead. Because the spirituality of this kind of person is dead. And any person whose spirituality is dead because he did not water his spirituality with the ahkam of Sharia, instead he continued to do the harams in his life because that's the lifestyle he himself liked. He wished to continue. His own wishes were worshipped. If we worship our own wishes and desires, what happens is that there will be some people on the Day of Judgment who will be insisting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّرْجِعُونِي لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. This guy is insisting, Quran is informing us. So, رَبِّرْجِعُونِي. In Arabic language, according to the rules of Arabic grammar, we never use the plural tense to the singular muqatab. Here in this ayat, the person is addressing Allah, and Allah is singular. Whereas the tense used in the ayat, رَبِّرْجِعُوا إِرْجِعُوا, which is the plural tense of command, Sighatul Amr, which is plural. In Arabic, we never use the Sighatul Amr in the plural sense for a singular mukhatab. That doesn't happen in the Arabic laws. So, my teacher was saying that this ayat is a dalil, that the person is going to repeat and repeat his statement. That's why Allah has mentioned it in the plural sense. Otherwise, plural tense. Otherwise, the Sighatul Jam is never mentioned for a muhatab who is singular in Arabic. So, this kind of person who lost his spirituality will be insisting on Allah, is constantly repeating his request. Return me back. Rabbir ji'uni, my Lord, return me back. That means return me back to the world of dunya so that I can basically start doing the good deeds. Amalun saleh. So this is how people would like to fix their bad deeds, and they will insist, they will constantly repeat before Allah to return them back. Because they did not water the plant of their spirituality with the ahkam of ghaib, with the ahkamun taklifiyya coming from the unseeable world. So they find that their souls were dead. They discovered it at that time. Souls were already dead. They didn't realize it because they were in the condition of drunkenness. Sukran, masti, drunkenness. Some people are in the situation of drunkenness. Drunkenness of their wishes, drunkenness of their desires, drunkenness of their dunya, love of dunya, various kinds of things that make us behave like a drunk person towards Allah's teachings. And so basically, a person realizes like that. So, realizes when we these kind of people will realize when they reach the Day of Judgment. So they will be repeating their statements. Otherwise, we never use the plural tense in Arabic language. Even when we talk to Rasulullah, we say, As-salamu alayka, ya Rasulullah. Isn't that right? We don't say in any ziyarat, As-salamu alaykum, ya Rasulullah. Isn't that right? Even to Imam Hussein, we say, As-salamu alayka, ya Aba Abdullah. We never say, As-salamu alaykum, ya Aba Abdullah. To Hazrat Zahra, As-salamu alayki, ya Fatima al-Zahra. We never say, As-salamu alaykunna. Isn't that right? That's never used in Arabic language. And this is what you find today used as istilah al-mutakhirin. So basically, when we are taking the do's and do nots from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our life is governed by the do's and do nots of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how we will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the hayat, with the life. And that's how we will be reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with dignity, because we are bound to ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan. So we are all going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. Certainly we belong to Allah وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ, and certainly we are towards Him, we are returning back. So we are all returning back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no escape. So when we are returning back to Allah, Allah wants us to reach Him with the real life. Quran is clear in Surah Yasin, لِيُنْذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا وَيُحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. So this taqabul also makes it clear that it's either a mu'min who has hayat, mu'min is the person who is hay and alive in the eyes of Surah Yasin, and the kafir is the person who is void of hayat and life. So hayat comes from iman and ma'rifat and ilm. These are three factors, our scholars say, these are three factors that ensure your hayat of your soul. So the more you have the daraja of iman, the more you have the higher daraja of ma'rifat, shanaht, the more you have in-depth recognition of Allah, and the more you enhance your ilm and knowledge, the higher stage of life you and your spirituality enjoys. And if a person is void of iman and ma'rifat and ilm, then this person is a spiritually dead person. So, and these a'mal that we perform based on the life of the qalb or the death of the qalb. The soul has vision like a body has the eyesight. The soul has the power of listening like our ears have the power of listening. The soul has a life like the body has a life. So if the person's qalb is basically, if the qalb of a person is alive, that's where we find all the beliefs and actions that he will perform with a live qalb will be nurani. And a qalb of a person is dead, then the beliefs and action of this person are also zulmani and dark. And these amal will be witnessed by the person on the Day of Judgment as well. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَدُونَ. You will only be rewarded what you did. There's no zulm from Allah's behalf. Allah doesn't do. لَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. There's no zulm on Allah's behalf on anyone. Allah never performs any zulm. So we will be rewarded only what we have done. So basically, what my teacher was saying is that أَحْكَامٌ تَكْلِيفِيَّةٌ has asarun takwini. So if you perform your life, you run your life according to the do's and do nots of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the asar are takwiniya. That means they are real effects. Whether we realize it right now, good. We don't realize it, we will see the same effects tomorrow in the grave and on the Day of Judgment. There is a real face and think that we are carving with our actions and amal, whether those actions are in sync with the rules of the Sharia, those faces and surat that we are carving of the amal will be nurani. And if our actions are not in sync with the Sharia, because I think I can decide on my own what am I supposed to do, because I feel like doing it. Right? In the name of freedom, we can do what we wish to do. So these amal that people are doing against the ahkam of the, ahkam at-taklifiyya, basically are zulmani, and also they will be witnessed by the people on the Day of Judgment. So, and the rules of the Sharia are according to the fitrat of insan, and the basic instinct which is found in every human, and obviously in sync with the aql of the human as well, which is the subject of the taklif. All the takalif are actually applied on the aql of the human. And so when we believe that these ahkam are in sync with the fitrat of the human being, we are saying it, we are implying it, that basically anything that belongs to the Sharia is universal, is beyond the limits and borders of languages, geographical borders, time limitations, space limitations, adat, taqaleed, rusum, customs, traditions, cultural practices of nations. The ahkam of Sharia are above all this, because all those things that I counted are constantly changing, and they are varying and different from each other, whereas the ahkam of the Sharia are not changing and not varying and not different and are not going to change. Instead, the halal of Muhammad is halalun abadan ila yawm al-qiyamah wa haramuhu haramun abadan ila yawm al-qiyamah. So this is something which is a constant. The ahkam of Sharia are constant, and because they are related to the fitrat. So the next point which is there is about the companionship of alim and ulama. This is the next point which is mentioned by our great scholars in Urafa, then musahabatul ulama, mujalasatul ulama. In the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we learn that he said, akhyasun nas man jama'a ilman nas ila ilmihi. The most intelligent of all the humans is the one who gathered the knowledge of the people towards his knowledge. That means he learns, he increases. So that's when we learn, we sit, we hang around with the scholars and the ashabul ilm, those people who have ilm and ma'rifat. That's how we learn from them. And there's no room for a person to do anything which is based on ignorance. And there's no room also for a person to do anything which is based on false perceptions, false concepts. There are some people who perform, to them, they're doing very nice things in their life. But as soon as they end up sitting with an alim, they realize that they have been doing wrong for long durations. So the more we are away from the ilm of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the more we are vulnerable to bigger losses. The more we get closer to the ilm, the more we avoid the probabilities of losing. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Say, shall I inform you about the biggest losers in terms of the actions? الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. So we learn in the light of this verse, there are some people who will lose their actions, their whole life of dunya, the actions they did will be lost, it will be a failure. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ, and they think that they are doing well, they are doing anything wrong. In other words, they assume, to them they think they are fine, they are not doing anything wrong. So if a person is hanging around with the ulama, this thing is not going to continue, because the teachings of the Prophet the ahkam of the Sharia are basically black and white. There is no gray area. The kuffar are going to say, Surah Fussilat, verse number 29. The kuffar are going to say on the Day of Judgment, Rabbana arina alladhina adallana min al-jinni wal-ins. O my Lord, O our Lord, show us the ones who misguided us from the jinns and the humans. Naj'alha tahta aqdamina. We will ruin them, we'll put them under our feet. That means we walk over them. We put them under our feet. لَيَكُونَ مِنَ الْأَسْفَلِينَ. So this is what the kuffar are going to say on the Day of Judgment. So inshallah we will continue this point inshallah on the next Thursday. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. يا الله 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 يا الله. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واقتل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين يا سيما الولي الفقيه قاعد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.